Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by the 5-star rated mobile puzzle game, Best Fiends. You've earned your fun time. Go to the App Store or Google Play to download Best Fiends for free. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Today on a chilling new episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when a young mother-to-be finds herself being followed by a dark energy? What can this innocent woman do to rid herself of this force that seems to want to take over her life and the life of her unborn child? We'll dive deep into that story and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. If you like the show, be sure to become an extra podcast person. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. Check that out at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the program. It is Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. What's going on?
We were just discussing off the recording here, at the time of year that it is, allergies are kind of kicking in and mine are kicking my butt a little bit. Yours sound like they're really kicking yours.
Yeah. It's been like such a weird spring where it's gone from being really kind of chilly to really hot. And we're another one of these rainy, chilly spells again. Just when we're doing like 80s, now it's like lower 60s and just gloomy and it affects me. I mean, the allergies suck because then everything kind of starts to rot and mold. But I don't know, like, I hate it too, because I think as I get older, I was hoping that it would affect me less. I think it affects me more, like mentally.
Oh, really? So I think as you get older, it not only affects you more mentally, but I think, you know, obviously physically and stuff like that too. I used to remember, like, mom would say, my knee hurts and it must be a storm coming. And you kind of laugh at that stuff when you're younger.
Yeah.
And then you get older and you fall down the stairs and you bust up your knee. And then when it does rain, you're going, oof, I feel that. And you're like, damn it, mom was right.
Yeah. There's something to it. I can totally feel like pressure changes and everything too. Like before, like if there's a big something coming in, I'll feel it. I'm just kind of like achy and then but I mean, worst for me is just the gloomy, the cold, the cloudy. And I used to really like that type of weather. And I still do in the right type of setting. Like if I'm going to go to a cemetery or something creepy, I want the weather to be like that because it just right. It helps with the mood. But I'm not going to a cemetery or creepy place 99.9% of the time. And then it's just like, oh, this sucks. And it takes a toll, like seasonal depression. I mean, just it adds to everything. And I hate it, but
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do another Wisconsin winter, to be honest with you. This last one went really long.
Yeah.
And again, now with my knee, it's like, I just don't know if I want to do it anymore. But to find the right place to live, I'm not sure about that either.
Yeah. Well, you got to figure that part out. But yeah, I mean, I could. I mean, when I visited up there in winter in the last, five to 10 years, I think I've probably been there for 2 winters for like a week. And I was like, nope. Not coming back again in winter. And I did again last year, and I remember every reason why I didn't. And it was
a cold one too when you were here. It was cold.
Yeah, not fun. I can, and even for like a week I was just like so wimping out on it. But it's like, yeah, this is how I remember living like that forever. And now I don't think there's any way I could do it. I don't think I would survive. It is just too gloomy, cold. I can't do the cold. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Although if I had a job of being like in charge of the receiving vault at Ryanzi Cemetery, when they can't get the bodies into the ground and you got to, you know, if I could like guard that or something, that'd be kind of fun. That might be worth the winter while. It's like, all
that
right.
That would be enough to keep you around in the winter?
No. Guarding bodies? So. No, not at all. But I don't think what do they do nowadays when someone dies up there in winter? Do they just still dig into the ground now? Are they, because machinery do that good enough?
I think some of the cemeteries actually do have the option to like unfreeze the ground. They've got like heated materials and stuff like that. So I think they can pretty much bury you at some point.
Yeah.
If it's really nasty, they'll just put off the burial for a while, like a couple of weeks or something like that. There's really no need for a burial chamber. I think they just keep you locked up someplace.
It's probably not much even need for a freezer, quite honestly, at that point. It's just right. Like,
just let the body lay there.
It's like, well, we're setting up for the funeral. It's in like 7 weeks. Well, we know it's going to be cold till then. The body will be fine.
Right.
And it just sits out there. And so then you get a warm snap one day. It hits 80 out of nowhere. I'm like, ooh, that's where the smell's coming from. Shoot, we didn't see that one coming.
Grandma.
855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter today. It says, hey, Tony and everybody. My name is Carla, and I live in San Diego, California. I have a few short stories to tell. I don't think that I'm very sensitive to the paranormal, or at least not now as an adult, but I was more so when I was a child. When I was very young, between 1 to 5 years of age, my father worked for the Navy on the island of Bermuda. We had a nice home at the top of a hill, two neighbors on either side. On one side, there was an embankment of grass and dirt that led down to a neighbor whose daughter I played with. At night, I sometimes had a recurring dream of myself going outside in the middle of the night, and always I would try to climb down this embankment. It always started to open up and swallow me in my dream, and then I would wake up. I also complained to my parents often of leaving the door cracked open at night, or I'd see shadows. I had a young sister who would literally crawl out of the window and go down the hill to a neighbor who had a pony. We had bunk beds. There was also instances of having sleep paralysis or even restless leg syndrome. Once we came back to the States, my family got hit with a string of addictions, both of my parents and eventually myself and my sister. I have an older sister who lived in Palm Springs, and I lived with her for a few years. She bought a house that a person had committed suicide in. She teased me that my room was that room. I'm not sure if it was or wasn't. There was a sliding glass door in my room that opened up to the backyard. I felt like someone was watching me. Every one of the windows or blinds open in that house. It gets so bad that I flipped off the windows all the time. Once when I was washing dishes, a cup slid across the counter on its own. My sister told me that was not a ghost, it was science. I changed drastically over one summer. My grades went from straight A's to almost failing. I made up weird stories about my life that weren't true. Then I left. Ended up in San Diego with my other older sister and spiraled out of control. I became a full-fledged drug addict by 16. I truly believe that people on drugs are more open to negative energy. That was the case for me. There's a canyon next to the San Luis Rey River where homeless people, drug addicts, and weirdos live. It used to be a mining area, and there are tunnels throughout. There's a church at the top of one of the ends, and there's lots of devil worship tales about that place. What I do know is one particular area of the canyon where it's near the river. Every time I was near this section, I felt scared out of my mind. It didn't matter if it was day or night. If I was by myself or with someone or a group, I did not like to be in this part. I felt watched. I heard laughter, growling, no animals, no birds. There was only one occasion where I saw about 100 to 200 ravens perched on the hillside, but I never saw any other animal in this part. Other areas were fine, even the creepy underground tunnels. This was when my sleep paralysis increased, especially if I fell asleep on my back. I'd feel like I could not breathe or move. There was a dark shadow coming from my feet. I'd finally snap out of it, gasping for air. I don't know if this was truly paranormal or my drug-induced mind. I just think it's strange how it was always the same figure. I've been clean now for over 16 years, and I don't experience sleep paralysis anymore. I don't really sleep on my back either. Jumping around a little bit, my grandmother died when I was around 15. I've been separated from my mother's side of the family for years. Didn't learn she had passed until about a year after. We were close. She was like a mother to me while my parents were both struggling with their addiction. My dad changed his life around and remarried, but my mother did not. So naturally, he kept me away. I took the news very hard, and I wish I could have said goodbye. She died of colon cancer. I never felt any closure. My grandfather said she really wanted to see me and my sister one last time, but she did not get to. She used to wear a particular perfume. I don't remember the name of it, but I don't smell it at all anymore. There have been a few times in my life where I've randomly smelled a hint of her perfume out of nowhere and just as quickly disappeared. I'd like to think it's her just letting me know she's watching over me. One more story I'll share is about 3 years ago, just before I found out I was pregnant with my first child, I was taking a nap on the couch with my cat. I had a bad dream where I was walking on the porch of what seemed to be a plantation-style home. I kept trying to look in the windows as I walked, and there was light, but I couldn't get inside. Out of the yard or field, just darkness. Something was trying to pull me off the porch. I was screaming and trying to hold onto a door, a banister, anything. And just then my cat jumped in front of me and meowed at me and hissed at the darkness, and I woke up. When I woke up, I expected my cat to be meowing for food. He was lying right on my feet asleep, and as I looked at him, he woke up and just looked back at me. I don't believe that I'm very sensitive, or at least I'm not open to it. I apologize if this is kind of all over the place. I've been wanting to write for a while now, but I've always felt giving thought might stir something up. I'll just say a couple prayers and yell at anything if it happens. I love the show. I've been listening to you for more than a few years now. Hope to listen for many more years to come. Thank you for reading my story, and have a good day. Thoughts on all that?
These stories, when it comes to addiction and things like that, I always start thinking about the chicken and the egg story, like which came first, the addiction and then the dark stuff, or was there dark stuff that may have sent them into addiction and, you know, kind of kept going? I'd love to know, like, when they finally got their life cleaned up, they've been sober for quite some time now. Did anything else change? Did they move? Did they do some sort of thought process like they were giving up on anything that might be dark in their life? I mean, what triggered that? And did anything else trigger along with it? But it's always like, I always worry about people who have mental illness or insecurities and whether or not it's just there or if something else kind of helps that along.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, the notions or the ways that people are going to act out are there, and in the right environment, it can go completely out of control. But at the same time, I think that that sort of stuff can get fed on by, you know, something negative. It's interesting. You never really hear ghost stories about someone who's, you know, they're battling addiction or it's been kind of a thing in their life on and off. And then like the ghost comes in and like shows them this way. And they're like, oh my gosh, I don't need this anymore. And I got off of it or whatever. It's always like, and it sunk me down deeper. You don't really hear the turnaround story of like the, I don't know, I guess angelic type ghost coming in and making it better.
Right. I've heard stories where somebody may have experienced like a family member that they thought came to them and it kind of helped them get back on the right path and stuff like that. But you're right. It always seems like when it comes to addiction and some sort of paranormal activity, it always seems like this dark energy that's hanging around during that time period.
It's there. And then it just kind of seems to do its thing and take its toll on either destroying the person or the person finds a way out of it. But no, I mean, it's scary. And it's why we call, you know, a lot of, you know, like alcohol spirits. That's what the original thought process was of, wow, you know, people drink this and it's like other things are coming through these people. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to look into that. And sometimes you got to wonder, you know, does that open up more of a gateway? Does it open up more of a path for other things to use and manipulate someone's body, whether it be alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be?
Right.
But interesting story. Thank you for that. Back to our conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends. You know, it's summertime. It's a time to kind of take a little load off, take a little break. Even though you're running the kids from here to there to the other place and everything else, you still need to take a little time for yourself. And sometimes a little time for yourself involves using your mobile device. And that's where Best Fiends come in. Yes, it's the 5-star rated mobile puzzle game that I absolutely love. You're going to love it too. It is a mental palate cleanser, as I like to talk about it and I like to think about it, because it just kind of takes you away for a few minutes. And it's fun. I'm almost to 800 in my levels. I've been getting there. And I'm almost there. I can't wait to hit it. What's fun about Best Fiends is it's always updated. It's free to download. There's new challenges all the time. Thousands of exciting levels. New adventures every time you pick the thing up to play. Dozens of unique fiends to collect so you can customize your team of fiends to defeat the menacing slugs. And plus, with offline play, this is great, especially if you're traveling this summer. Not every place has internet. Offline play, you never are going to be stranded without fun, even if you lose your internet connection. You've earned your fun time. Go to the App Store or Google Play to download Best Fiends for free. Plus, earn even more with $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over here to this caller as soon as I get audition opened up here so I can play the phone call at 855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear your story.
So I was just listening to the podcast. I had called in previously, multiple times actually, and Carol was discussing with you my daughter, because I was on that particular call in, and her name, I use Lily, just because that's anonymous. And anyway, one of the things that was brought up was health and age and anxiety. And I probably have misled some things, and I just want to be more specific and in regards to all this. So Lily is almost 14 now. So these abilities she did have when she was very young, very, very young. She would see the gray people that she would talk to and wave to. And when I would ask her about them, because this was unbeknownst to me as to the level it would become and the abilities that she would have. But initially it was the gray people, and they would run so fast, they would disappear. That's how she would describe them. She would also be descriptive in mannerisms and attire that I thought was odd. But at the time, you know, you just think imaginary friends, that sort of thing. So as the years have progressed, it's always been little things, coincidences that she has had known and things that had came to light. However, that being said, the introduction of the girl in her dreams that had went to school with my husband, that my husband really didn't know. I know this is all crazy, but that came to light when she was about in the fourth grade. And I remember it just distinctly because we had moved. And so I thought that it may be from that. But the more she knew, distinct details, and I didn't think to Google this initially because, again, I was just kind of, I thought it was all trauma from moving because that's a big deal. And not a negative thing. We just had just moved. So I really thought that it had triggered maybe something, but when she started knowing things and came back with a name and then a last name, and she's telling me when I asked her how did she know these things, she just said she just asked the lady. She kept telling me she was in her dreams and that she would show her things. And then the things she would show her, again, the death of Kobe Bryant, COVID, things shutting down because, you know, and you overanalyze and you overthink things and you can't ever imagine. So I just wanted to make that clear about kind of her journey in a nutshell. And also in regards to anxiety and her health, when I had brought up her health issues, none of it had ever been a derivative of anxiety. We had actually sought out psychiatric help and just speaking with a psychiatrist initially because we thought maybe that's what it was. It was not. She's the most confident 14-year-old, almost 14 now, that you will ever meet. And I'm so proud of that. I'm proud of the young woman that she's becoming and her stance on life. I couldn't be more proud of who she is and the way she represents herself. And, you know, she has an older sister that has given her guidance for that as well, who turns out has abilities that, you know, surface later on in life in a very untraditional, unconventional manner. But that's a whole other story, and I, you know, have kind of touched on it, but not to the degree. And I do believe this comes from my mother's side, just because my mother has always had dreams and kind of premonition dreams. And we have discussed them before, but never in detail. And it's essentially not in front of the girls. The girls really don't. Things of that magnitude. But when Lillian came about, and then she started knowing things that I didn't even know about my father's side of the family, because my father has an extensive family that was there before he came along in a previous marriage my grandfather had had. And my grandfather was a lot younger, or a lot older, excuse me, than my grandmother. So there were things that I didn't even know that Lily has brought to light, be it nicknames, deaths, through visitations, and how she has described them. She's not scared of these things. When I ask her, you know, do you want to come sleep in mommy's room, or do you want to come sleep with mommy and daddy? I don't dismiss her by no means, because, you know, I just don't dismiss her. I know better to, than to do that. But, and then when we had the psychiatric evaluation, and multiple doctors told us, you know, there's no anxiety, there's no stress. I think you need to look at the physical aspects of this. That's how we got with the specialist that helped us with other things. And we have seen three specialists, and everything has came back A-okay. Thank you, Lord. And that magnitude, I guess. But, you know, does she still have issues in bouts with her stomach, especially? Yes. And are we alleviating those things with herbs and remedies that we felt were best, and diet? Yes. Is that helping? Somewhat. It's not completely taking care of everything. You know, this is something that, you know, again, I have said this before, but there is no parenting handbook. And in fact, there's essentially, if there were, there would be no chapter of this. Do I pray for them? Yes. Do I believe them? Absolutely. I mean, there's no way you couldn't. There's sometimes that between the two of them, it gives me cold chills. It's just tremendous. I know there's a purpose for all of this. At the end of the day, there's a reason, and I trust that. And we just try to support and her in every aspect. You know, to us, she's a normal child. To others, it may be alarming. You know, we kind of keep this, we don't keep it hidden. We do whatever really feels is best. So, and for my other daughter. So we do whatever is best for them. And ultimately, I think it's what, at the end of the day, that's what a parent does, is you just support and love your children. And that's what we're doing here. Do we have a normal circumstance? No, but who does? So, anyway, my husband and I are supportive of them both. We wish you all the best. And I'll continue to keep you updated on these things. And in fact, I had mentioned some things that I was just going to kind of let play out and see how it was. Well, it came to the light and came to be. So, and I know it's heavy. It would have to be heavy for them at their age. But, you know, again, we just do things the best that we know how. So I appreciate this outlet. I've said that multiple times. Tony, you can cue the cheesy music after this. I am that mother. That's okay. You guys have a blessed day. I thank you so much.
There you go. Obviously, this is stemming off of another call where she talked about her child and a lot that was going on with her. What do you make out of that portion that you heard?
I think that whenever somebody comes across these gifts or these abilities, whether they're an adult or a child, I think it can be very traumatic. And I think sometimes people will say, well, these kids are just kids and they're dealing with this stuff. And, you know, in this case, the child knew things about somebody they shouldn't know anything about. They knew names and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's as traumatic for them, because they haven't had the chance to be taught by the world that this isn't normal. And so I'm not saying that it's not traumatic by any means. I'm just saying I'm not sure if it's any more traumatic for a youngster than it is for an adult. But the one thing I will say about this is there are a lot of people who claim to have abilities and have the empath thing and being able to communicate with spirit or energy and all that kind of stuff. There's no handbook for it. Yes, there's books out there you can read. Yes, there's people you can reach out to, but where do you go? It's not like going to a school system and having kindergarten through 12th grade and then future, you know, college and stuff like that. You're kind of thrown into this and you're kind of said, you know, here, learn the way, figure it out for yourself. I think that's the toughest thing. And being a parent of a child who's maybe going through something like that, I just wish there were more resources readily available for people to reach out to kind of help them through.
Yeah, because you are very limited on like what you can do and what, you know, society and doctors and all that think that you should do. And you're kind of in a tough spot unless you can talk to other people who may be going through the same sort of thing and kind of get some resources that way. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of that either. So
no, and there's also a lot of frauds and fakes out there. Yeah. You don't want to run into that situation either. It's just like getting a really bad doctor and them, you know, messing up a part of your body or your life because they're not very good. So
yeah,
it's a very scary situation. I just wish there was a better support system where people could go and learn what they want to learn. Almost a school system, mm-hmm. like Hogwarts, for crying out loud, for people who feel like they have this ability. Yeah. It would be great to be able to teach them more.
I wonder if one day we'll ever be there where like those sort of things are more recognized and maybe not fully understood, but at least discussed.
I think we're close. I've had the opportunity to kind of get involved with more spiritual kind of stuff and learn some stuff on my own. And I think there's a lot of people that are moving toward that mindset, mm-hmm. away from Western medicine and all that kind of stuff. So I think we're getting there. I just it's not there now. And sure. So for people who are dealing with it right now, the options are limited.
Yeah. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's do another caller. Hi.
Hi, everybody. My name is Dana, and I'm from Northeast Ohio. I have a couple stories for you. This first one is, it's just a dream, a series of dreams that I've had that have had the same person in them each time. And this person is a guy, and he's always really handsome and attractive and very confident, right? And so in these dreams, the dreams start out really sweet. And I've been having these dreams for years. I'd say probably about 5 years now. And this person never changes. He always has light skin, brown hair, brown eyes, really, really attractive dude. And every time he pops up, it is during a point in time where it's transition usually, or there's some sort of intense emotion. So I always attributed it to just stressors in my life. And the face, people always say, oh, well, it's somebody you've seen in real life just manifesting in your subconscious. Well, so the one day, in my dream, it was such a terrible dream. It was a dream that involved pets being harmed, and he was standing right there, right next to me while my dog was being hurt. And I got so angry in my dream. I told him off. I was like, who even are you? What is your name? And like, his name was just this basic guy name. His name was Chris. And so I was like, well, screw you, Chris. And now keep in mind, I've had this dream, this man in my dream for years, never gone away. And I had this interaction with this person in my dream quite a while ago. I'd say about a year ago now. And after I told Chris off, he went away. But after I told Chris off, things in my apartment started moving. Like, actively moving. As if this was a person in my apartment that was bothering me. And I haven't lived in this apartment for that long. But I was sitting at my dining room table. And I do like office work and stuff there for bills and, you know, this, that, and the other. And while I was sitting there, I have a setup for family. So it's kind of like I have pictures of loved ones who have passed and some of their trinkets and things like that. And I watched my aunt had this like clock locket. And I had that next to her picture, and she was my favorite aunt, and so I treasured it. And I watched that go from where it was next to her picture across the table to basically in front of my left hand. And so I freaked out a little bit, obviously, but after that happened and I had like a freak out moment, it stopped. And now, to something that's a little sweeter, I for Mother's Day, I thought of my recently passed grandmother, my favorite aunt, and a grandmother that had passed quite a while ago. And for birthdays and like Mother's Day and Father's Day, I'll create what my family calls a dummy dinner. And I'll set up a plate to eat, and then I'll have a plate set up for them, for like, so I can feel like I'm having dinner with them again. It's something that my family does for like kind of like a closure thing to be close. But anyways, I did that again this year, and I made my grandmother's favorite drink was a Bloody Mary. I made my aunt's favorite dessert, which was a fruit pie. I made apple pie, but she liked any fruit pie. Anyway, sorry. And then I made a ham dinner because my dad's mom loved ham in all forms. And so I set up the plate, the dummy plate, and then I set up my plate, and I had their pictures on the table, like I mentioned in my last story. And I was just sitting there and talking to them. And recently I'd been really stressed out with this work and with all this drama happening at work. And there's violence to one woman that I work with, and I had been in a violent relationship prior. I started crying. After I started crying, I started feeling like pinpricks on my hands. Like I looked up and my hair was standing on end and I had goosebumps, and I was still talking because I felt something similar to this before while doing this. But the thing that was different this round was I felt somebody touch my hand, and I just started crying harder. Because I was like, oh man, I am so sad that one of my past loved ones is sitting here reassuring me with a hand touch. Because it didn't feel like the goober in my dream, Chris. It felt like a caring, reassuring touch. And it was just amazing. And the first time that has ever happened. And I'm so close with my family and I love them so much. It was just a gift. But that was all I had for today. I adore all of you and I adore the podcast. I'm an EPP and I listen to you guys all the time. Number one fan. I will see you guys later and have a good day. Bye.
What if you end up cooking like a bunch of food for the dead people, and it turns out like everything you make is like the only things that they liked and no one else likes? It's like, oh, we got all this, the ham you made that way for who? Oh yeah, they're dead. And you did the chicken like that. Yeah, but it's for the fake. Yeah, but nobody likes it when you do it like that. Well, they did, and like nobody, the living never eat, and it's just like plates and plates of food that just go to the dead people.
Only you would come up with that thought process. Here's me on the other side going, oh my God, it's so wonderful that she's connecting with her family and all that. And you take it in the other direction. I don't know what to say about the dreams.
Yeah.
Cause I haven't come to a conclusion on how I feel about dreams. Like I want to just think that they're our mind and it's just a story that's playing out. Sometimes maybe it means a little something, but there's a good portion of me that goes, there's something else going on there that I don't necessarily understand. But I do think like the experience with that item coming across the table to her and the feeling of the hands and all that kind of stuff. She's in a situation where they have communicated with her. And when she does things like offer the plates and all that kind of stuff, you know, whether or not there's an actual connection there. We make the connection every time we think of them. So
yeah.
I think it's great. And I hope she continues to do that stuff because the more she does it, the more she'll remember them and the more possibility of connecting with them will be.
Sure. Sure. No, that makes sense. And I think that's a really neat idea to kind of put out the plates. When you scoop out the portions for everybody, what do you do? Do you give them regular size portions, or is it like, well, this is the piece that nobody's going to eat of the ham. It's a really fatty one. Do you give that to them, or do you give them like the nice size, you know, chunks that you'd be, you know, willing to eat yourself?
So you've got a girlfriend. Is that what you're telling me?
She's never listened to this show ever.
That's probably a good thing, because this one should be like, that's it. I'm done. This guy's.
I'm stuck on this. Like, how do you plate for the dead? And yeah,
I don't know. But you know what? Something that I've never done that before. But like, if you've ever made a recipe that your mom made or your grandma made, I think it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
My family had this recipe. It was called creamed corn. No, it was called scalloped corn.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like a corn casserole kind of thing. And I've never seen it before, but both my dad's family and my mom's family did it different versions. And whenever I make it, it's like grandma's right there.
Yeah, that's cool. There would be a lot of casseroles in my world. If
like what kind?
Tuna casserole. And basically anything that you can combine with cream of mushroom soup. So you could like take a bag of cornflakes and mix it with cream of mushroom soup, and suddenly it's a casserole. Maybe throw some onions or chicken in there too. You know, there's basically anything you can put into a pan or a pot, or a, you know, a oven pan type thing that you put a casserole dish. Then someday I can go to the. Here's a funny one. So my parents, I don't know what the deal was. But my whole life when we were growing up, you know, we'd walk through the cemetery. So the question or the conversation would come up of, do you want to be buried or cremated? And my whole life, it was like, oh, everybody's like, I want to be buried. Okay, great. That's okay. The conversation didn't really go much further than that. Then all of a sudden, a couple years back, there's like a buy one, get one sale at the cemetery. Not even fucking making this shit up. And it's for cremation. So they bought a single plot. One size, not a double, but single. And they're going to be cremated. Again, totally different what they wanted, but I think they saved some money. and they're just going to, I guess, I don't know, do I put them on the plot? Do I bury the urn? Do I just leave the urn there and wait for somebody to kick it over? Do I spread them in a casserole? I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
You know, my mom kind of went through the same thing. She never wanted to be buried in the ground because she hated the cold and all that kind of stuff. So she wanted to be above ground. But then toward the end of her life, when she knew that the end was near, she wanted to be cremated and buried in the ground that way. Which I, again, changed her mind. Whatever you want to do, Mom, I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I'm just lucky because she laid it all out. So make sure that you know exactly what your parents want. Because I guarantee if they've laid it out and you do something different, your ass is grass.
I don't want that. I know. Come after I don't want them haunting me.
I have a feeling that might happen to you.
But what do you, so it's like a single plot. So what do you do? Like, because, I mean, they're probably not going to die at the same time.
See, yeah, I don't know if they can put two.
I don't know. I don't know if they thought this part through before they said, yes, sign me up for the buy one, get one.
Well, are you their like power of attorney and stuff like that? You must be.
I must be. I mean, there's no one else that would be unless they sign it over. But I was going to say they could just sign over to one of the cats, but the cats are all dead.
I was just going to say some vagrant down the street down by your mom and dad's house. They've had them sign up to be the power of attorney because they don't trust you.
That delinquent child down the road that we complain about all the time that's driving the four-wheeler and has 32 kids by all different women throughout the city. Yeah, we thought he'd be a good one, more than
he's turned out to be a good guy.
He's good. You know, and he's close by. He's close by, so, you know, like, I can do this all digital. Yeah, but he can handle it. Okay, that's great. I don't know. I mean, it's all in a safe somewhere. I've asked them to get, like, a safety deposit box. I even went to the bank with my dad one day when I was visiting, and we got one set up. Do you think he's ever put anything in it? No.
Nothing's in there. It's completely
nothing's
empty.
In there. Yep. It's like, we got it over here. Just now you know where it's at. Like, put it there. So it's like safe. That's the point of the safety deposit box. Like, nope.
They're coming back for you. Okay. They're coming back.
Oh, gosh. So, well, there you go. That should be interesting. That'll be a new whole chapter in life when I get haunted. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus material, advanced episodes, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.